I graduated from college, I pursued the path of an engineer. And in engineering, you have to be exact about everything. Otherwise, people can get hurt. So I had to know everything. I couldn't just go by guessing or happenstance. I had to make sure everything was proper and in its place. But it took me a long time to realize that in this Christian walk, we don't always get to know everything when we want to know it. Many times it's a test of our walk and our faith in God. How many of you know that God doesn't have to reveal to us anything, but He does share with us portions of His plan to keep us sustained so we can just keep on running this race to the very end.
Amen.
But farther along, one day, by and by, we'll all know better when that day comes. But until then, we go on what we have, amen? We run anyhow. You know, I wanted to talk to you about a series of passages today that were read for you earlier. And I want to couch it with these opening thoughts.
Yes.
The Old Testament and the New Testament points to Jesus Christ as the absolute solution to everything that ails humankind. The stories, the poems, the history, the prophecies, they all come together to tell a more complete story. Not everything that is to be known is written in God's Word.
That's right.
But what is needed for us is there for us to find. And the ultimate story is that Jesus Christ is still the answer for everything. If we study the Word of God, we can often find parallels to Jesus' perfection as Savior, as protector, as healer, as teacher, the perfect sacrifice, and more. So today I will highlight a few examples for you that support this thought. The time does not permit me to share with you every possible nuance, and nor do I claim to know all of them, because I'm going on what it is God has revealed to me, growing day by day. However, I will share with you a few things that have stood out for me. Turn again to the passage that was read for you today, St. Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading at verse 18. St. Matthew chapter 17, verse 18. Matthew 17, verse 18. And I'll be reading for you here in the King James Version translation. St. Matthew chapter 17, verse 18 begins with these words, "And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Then he concludes that thought with saying, "Howbeit this kind goeth not up, but by prayer and fasting." My beloved, for today's message, the title is simply Moving Mountains. Moving Mountains. Let us pray. Precious God, we are delighted again to be in your company this morning, and we ask, Lord, while you're visiting with us, that you would cause us to feel your presence. Where we need to be nudged, God, we invite you to do so. Where we need to be comforted, would you embrace us? Where we need to be reminded, will you stoke our memories so that we may be walking a closer walk with you? Speak, God, in this service. Use me, this instrument, as you see fit to utter up the words that must be heard. Speak, O Lord, we hear and we obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My beloved, the scriptures I just shared with you is going to serve as the anchor point for the message. But let me give you a little bit of context by sharing some excerpts from Matthew chapter 16, the previous chapter. For in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus asked this question, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" See, Jesus is asking about what's the public opinion about me. And the response was that some think that you're John the Baptist. Some see you as Elias, or that's the Greek form of Elijah. And then some see you as Jeremiah or some other prophet. Now keep in mind that Jesus is asking this question. He's going somewhere with this. And I want you to remember, Jesus asked them this question about who do they say I am. And then Jesus then makes it personal, because now he asked them, well, but whom say ye that I am? That's in Matthew 16 and 15. So Simon Peter, the bold one usually of the group, first to speak out, says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God."
That's right.
Now notice Jesus' response in the very next verse, in verse 17. He says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Keep in mind, no matter what others believe about Jesus, it matters most what you believe about him. And if you agree with Peter that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that means God the Father revealed it to you. Because we can't come to that understanding of our own volition, of our own intellect, of our own understanding. God must trouble the waters so that we might be able to see his reflection.
That's correct.
Now keep in mind, no matter what others believe, again, it's what you believe that's important about Jesus. I'll say more about this in just a moment, but let us now flip forward into Matthew 17 and see what's happening leading up to our anchor passages. We find that there's this rare occurrence that's taking place. You see, Jesus and three of his disciples ascend to a high place in the mountain and left the nine other disciples in the base camp. And on this mountain, Jesus is transfigured. The Bible says that his face shone like the sun and that his raiment or his clothing was white as light. Get that picture. He glowed in their presence. And then we read on and we find that Moses and Elijah appears unto them in this place. So here we have Jesus, the Word. We have Moses representing the law. And we have Elijah representing prophecies. All three presence in one place. Peter looks upon this, and Peter, being the brash one to speak up, said, "Lord, this is good that we're here. Let me build three altars, one for each of you." What a grave mistake that was. Peter was going to build an altar for Moses, an altar for Elijah, and an altar for Jesus. But he got corrected, because the Bible then tells us a bright cloud showed up and overshadowed them. And then out of the cloud came a voice, which we know was God the Father speaking, for he said, "This is my beloved Son, of whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." See, this was a high mountaintop experience that they had in this moment. Now they're about to be greeted with a low experience as they descended the mountain. We have this contrast of in chapter 16 where God spoke up for his beloved Son. And now in chapter 17, we find another father who speaks up for his beloved son. The difference between the two is that one son is holy and pure, and he's deity. And in the case of the other son, he's one that is a child, and he is possessed. We find that the second father in this story brought his lunatic and vexed sore son to the disciples. And these nine disciples that was left behind in the base camp could not deliver this child of the demonic possession he was experiencing. They could not cure this man's son. So this father, being persistent, He approached Jesus and said, they couldn't help me, but perhaps you can do it and get the job done. Such a contrast, because to me, we find that it's so like God the Father, who's not willing to give up on his children and has dispatched Jesus to be the answer and the solution.
Wow, wow, wow.
So in the case of the possessed son, Jesus is the answer. Regarding the whole world and all the ills in it, Jesus still is the answer.
Amen.
Now, the demonic son, they tell us in the Bible that he was self-destructive and that he would cast himself into the fire and into the water. So Jesus, when he rebukes the devil, the child is delivered, according to the Bible, that very hour in which Jesus performed that act. Now, y'all, with this, you would notice that the devil is no match for God. Can you agree to that?
That's right.
Now imagine how the second father must have reacted now that his son has been delivered from this demonic possession, where his son is no longer torn inside and his son is no longer harming himself, and now he is a transformed child. I can just imagine them leaping for joy. I can imagine them praising God as they on their way home and just rejoicing and remembering how good God has been. Now, I imagine we probably have some stories like that to tell ourselves, right? We can think back to some times in which things were really tense.
Amen.
But yet we found out how good God is when he delivered us through all of that. So this second father was, in my mind, being a good parent. He did not want his child to suffer anymore. Isn't that what good parents do? Good parents rather that their children would do better than they did. Is that right? Good parents position their children for success. Likewise, God doesn't want you or me to suffer. He positions you and me to do better by offering his son, the blessed Jesus Christ, our deliverer. Now, look, having set the stage, we arrive at the anchor scriptures for today's message. For you see, Jesus did what his disciples could not do. The disciples were puzzled at their failure and they asked why they were unsuccessful. Jesus said, because of your unbelief, wavering and doubt, my beloved, being timid and coming to God will block and hinder God's moving on your behalf. Let me share with you a personal story. I'm going to get a little personal here. And I know what I share with y'all, y'all kind of keep it here with us. Is that true? Amen. Amen. I don't know what that buzzing sound is. We know where that's coming from. The speakers? All right. We'll just drive on and ignore it. My personal story. There was a period in my life I became alienated from my sons. It was a tough time for me. I struggled, and it all occurred from three words that begin with the letters M-I-S. Mistakes, misunderstandings, miscommunications. It was a long period of suffering, loss, and regret. In fact, we actually stopped speaking to each other, and it looked hopeless. During this time of isolation, God was dealing with me. He was prodding me and guiding me with how to respond. Ego and self-preservation kept getting in the way as I wrestled with that dilemma and the relationship that had been harmed and damaged. But God kept bringing me before him for a resolution. So I sacrificed and I petitioned long and hard. And years later, our relationships improved. In fact, my beloved, I would say that now some 16 years or so later, I find that our relationship is stronger now than it had ever been before. I love my sons.
Yes.
One of them happened to marry a wonderful lady who is now my daughter, and I love her just as much.
Yes.
I hope they're listening today. David, Daniel, and Dominique. But we find that God kept prodding me and pushing me, and I kept petitioning and praying and believing that God would make a difference, and he did just that. I share this personal story with you because if you're dealing with a situation and you have prayed about it and you've asked God to move, it may be, in like it was in my case, you might be the roadblock.
Amen.
So while you're praying and while you're sacrificing, while you're petitioning God, ask God to remove every hindrance and to fix whatever may be true with you too.
Amen.
Now recall, Jesus taught that a little faith can move mountains.
Yeah.
Faith the size of a mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, be ye removed, and it will move.
Yeah.
And then Jesus went on to help us to understand that when we have that kind of prayer, and we add to that prayer and fasting, when we have that kind of faith, and we add to it prayer and fasting, then we can find it able to move even a demonic mountain like it was in the child that we just talked about.
Amen.
Faith, not very much faith, combined with prayer and fasting, can remove deep-seated issues we might be still wrestling with. Generational curses might be laid to rest because of this step that we take. Faith in God's love for you. Say that again. Faith in God's love for you. I'm going to say it one more time.
Yes, yes.
Faith in God's love for you. I want you to make this personal. Say, God love for me.
Yes, yes.
Say it even like this. God loves me.
God loves
me. Now, how do you know that God loves you? How do you know? The Bible says that he gave Jesus as a gift. God, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is love, my beloved. To give a child, your only begotten child, that's a big deal.
Hallelujah.
And God did that. So that's faith, that God loves me. And then prayer, that persistent petition to God. Not relenting, not giving up, not wavering, not drawing back. And then combine that with fasting. Fasting often means depriving yourself of food. Now I know some of us can't do that for medical reasons, but I want you to know that there's another option for you. Because back in the day, in the Old Testament and New Testament times, when they did longer fast, they actually would abstain themselves from the better kinds of food. You know, like maybe in my case, it might be strawberry shortcake. I can kind of like set that aside and not do that for a while where it feels like it hurts. But it has to be something that feels like there's a loss and a sacrifice, whatever that is. And what that does is that bring our body and our will into discipline before God.
Amen.
So if that's your route and you want to think about fasting, make sure you consult your doctor. I had to put that in there for legal purposes to see if you can do likewise. Moving mountains. What does it take to move a mountain? Jesus said just a little bit of faith to move a mountain. Are you facing one in life today? Or you see yourself approaching one that's just around the bend, just beyond the horizon, that thing that you know is coming and you're going to have to deal with, and you've kind of put it off for a while, hoping that somehow it would resolve itself, but still is there looming, waiting for you to approach.
Right.
If you have a mountain in your life, I'm here to tell you, you can move that mountain out the way. In fact, I like how one of the songwriters wrote, he said, give me the strength to climb that mountain. And if you can't give me the strength to climb, give me the strength to go around the mountain, go through the mountain. But don't let the mountain be the block to the blessing that God has for you. So, my beloved, I'm thinking that the glory of Jesus was visible high up on the mountain. The power of Jesus was revealed in the base of the mountain. And the question is, which Jesus do you see? Do you see the Jesus that's glorified, the Jesus that's all powerful? Do you see him as all of that and then some? Do you see his love that's revealed high up and in the depths below? For you see, he wept in our low places of our grief, and he is exalted in the height of our worship. His love is revealed in the depth of his torture. His cries were heard high on the cross. My God, why have thou forsaken me? The same Jesus arose from the dead in 3 days, and he shall be crowned Lord of Lords and King of Kings, forever the beloved Son of the Most High. The same that accepted the desperate Father's request that came, the Father who did not give up, the Father who had this vexed Son that needed rescue. This serves as a clear example today. Whatever may be troubling you or your loved ones, causing sleepless nights, whatever may be terrorizing your soul, whatever may twist your life in knots, whatever ill things may be said even of you, whatever doubts you may be harboring deep within, whatever disappointments you may face, whatever things may be, you can try to resolve it yourself. You can pretend like everything's okay, but I encourage you to bring it to Jesus. They say to bring it to the Lord and leave it there. He is your best chance for victory. He is your best chance for victory. Yes, you may not need to pray it fast, but every now and then you're going to run into something that's going to require you to take it to the next level. Yes, you may need to be persistent. Yes, you may need to even suffer a little while. But know this, God never fails. And he is faithful and just in what he does, and his power is unlimited. His love is dependable. His involvement is guaranteed through his Son, the beloved Son, Jesus Christ. You too can be God's beloved child. If you already are that, God bless you. Hallelujah. But if you've not received God in the pardoning of your sin, my beloved, this is your moment. Do not let it go by. For you see, my beloved, I'm here to tell you your change is present now. The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And if you will open up, he will come in and sup with you. Well, what does that mean, Reverend? That means that if you would give Jesus a chance with taking over your life, he will show you the benefits and the beauty of that. Will you open up the door and let him? So your valley of despair can become a pinnacle of praise. Come to Jesus right now. Bring your children, bring your troubles, bring your problems, bring your burdens, bring your grief. And more than all of that, bring yourself and acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of redemption. That's another one of those fancy words Christians say, redemption. But what does redemption mean? That means you're transferred from being worthless to being made valuable. You're transferred from being unrighteous to becoming righteous before God. Righteous means that you're in right standing with God Almighty. And Jesus is reaching out right now to make that difference in all of our lives. What others may believe about Jesus may be useful, but what you believe is most important. Do you believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And if so, that means God has revealed that to you. Jesus does what no one else can do. He takes the sinner that is lost and converts them into saved and found. And he is a mountain mover. And he was willing and interested in moving your mountain. Will you give it to him? Will you permit him to do so in the name of Jesus? My beloved, he wishes to move your mountain. Let's give God glory for that. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We delight in you. We thank you so much. Thank you, God. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but if this is to you, please hearken and listen deep. For somebody, God has been trying to reach for a while. You've kind of toyed around with this thing. You kind of go through the motions. But you know it doesn't feel genuine for some reason. In fact, you might feel like you had it one point in your life and it's kind of faded down through the years. But I'm here to tell you that that's because of you and not God. How do I know? Because the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if there's a change, it's in the person, not in God himself. And it's his desire to make the relationship with him and you richer and richer day by day. If you haven't received Jesus Christ in the pardoning of your sin, my beloved, it begins by first admitting that you need him. You try to do it your way and you realize you just can't get out of this hole or pit that you're in. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. Come unto him and let him transform you. For the Bible says that you must be born again. That basically means transformed from what you were to what he wants you to be. And he will work that process with you. Because he said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's committed to be with you for the whole journey. If you decided that this is something that you want for yourself, if you can't make it to a church real quick, you're welcome to call this church and leave your name and your number, and we'll call you back and help you with this process. We'll let you know that you won't walk this journey alone. Of course, Jesus will be there, but we will be there too. Precious God Almighty, we are so thankful to you for many things that you do. But we've matured to a place now that we know that we don't just thank you for what you do. We thank you for who you are. For you are holy. Your majesty speaks for itself. And in the midst of all of that, you declare that you're also our God. How undeserving we are. But yet you're not doing this because we're deserving. You're doing this because of the grace that you provide. What a love you show, God. And we appreciate it, we acknowledge it, and we say thank you. Lord, as we venture into what the weak challenges may be, help us remember there's no mountain you can't move. There's no struggle that you can't deal with. There's no hurt that you can't heal. There's no problem that you can't eradicate. There's nothing, God, that can prevent us if you say no. Speak, O God, into our lives this week. Protect us. Keep us safe. Keep us close to you. We invite this in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and our Savior. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Let the saints say amen,
amen,
amen and amen. Give God glory.